Today we welcome Tom Saxton, head women's varsity soccer coach, to the program. I'm joined by President Sam Stanley. And Tom, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Bill. I'm honored to be here and excited to meet President Stanley, and really appreciate his leadership and yours as well, and happy to join you today.
So you've been, so I'll sort of out you here a little bit. You've been the head women's soccer coach for a very, very long time, over 30 years. How has the sport evolved? How have things changed here at MSU? What's different from now from when you started so many years ago?
Well, first let me say what a dream and an honor it's been for me. It's to be able to coach at my alma mater and work for such a great university all these years is really something I'm very, very grateful for. And to your question, there has been quite a bit of change. You know, the game itself, women's soccer has evolved from really just a handful of teams. There was only two Big Ten teams that sponsored soccer when I started, and now there's over 330 Division I teams, including all the Power Five conferences that sponsor women's soccer. So that growth has been incredible and been fun to be a part of. And then here on campus, just the evolution of our athletics department and our university over the years has been incredible. I mean, when I played here, I finished in 82, we played on what is now the football practice field and on really kind of almost a intramural type field. And we were lucky enough to move down to what is such a beautiful space, an old college field in the mid-80s, and kind of watch that space grow and improve. And it's part of a fundraising campaign to bring new life to old college field. And now it's just a spectacular place for college athletics. We have our own stadium. We have lights. It's been just year after year growth and support from the university. But we really appreciate it.
So MSU, I think, is a little unique in that we were talking earlier with Damon Rensing, the men's soccer coach, and it's always extraordinary to me that over the course of something like 50 years, 40 years in that program, there have been two head coaches. And with your long tenure, we've had very, very few soccer coaches at Michigan State on either the men's or women's side, which I think has resulted in a very strong connection. For example, the annual soccer banquet for the two teams is held jointly, which is a bit unique. Talk about how the impact of that, how the relationship between you as the women's coach and your colleague on the other side of the aisles as the men's coach have strengthened your programs and the impact that's had.
I think it's been great for our student athletes primarily because unlike what we might hear at other universities, there's really a great deal of support between the two teams and a great relationship, and that's what we see day to day. And you know, sometimes teams fight for space. I mean, we share the same practice field, but we have a really, really great working relationship and a fair one. And so I think both the men and women's teams feel a great kinship, that they're treated fairly and equally, and that's been important. And that's evolved out of the fact that Damon and I both kind of grew out of the coaching tree of Joe Baum, who in 1986, when the women's program was founded, had been the men's coach for approximately 10 years. And the AD at the time, Doug Weaver, probably in an effort to be efficient financially, asked Joe to coach both teams. So that's when I was lucky enough. At the time I was coaching the men's program at Delta College up in Saginaw and coaching high school soccer at Flint Central. And Joe asked me to come back to campus in 86 and serve as his assistant for both teams. So him and I for 5 years coached the men's and women's soccer program here. Which is a great experience for a young man like me, but it was tough. There was a lot of hours, and you had to kind of go from if you were playing a doubleheader, which we did a lot back then, you'd maybe lose a tough game in the last minute, and you have to kind of go like this and be ready to go for kind of regroup and get ready to coach the next team with a fresh attitude. But lots of great times, lots of great camaraderies, lots of great relationships developed. And when we decided to split the programs appropriately, so in 91, I was fortunate enough to get the women's job. And then ironically, as Damon was wrapping up his playing career here, he had another semester to finish his degree, and I had got to know him quite well in camp settings and whatnot, and I asked him to be my undergraduate assistant. as he was wrapping up his degree, and that worked out really, really well and kind of got him kick-started into the coaching ranks. And he was very helpful to me, and I hold him in such high regard. He's a great friend, but also such a great coach. And we've just kind of carried on that partnership and that tradition. And we have a couple special events. One, as you mentioned, Bill, is the banquet, which is a really unique tradition to do that together the way we do it. And then we host this year I think will be the 29th annual, we host a golf outing together in May, which has been a great event for our alums. We really get a nice turnout every year. It is a fundraising event, but I think Damon calls it friend-raising as well, and it is a special day every May. And, of course, we do camps and clinics together, and again, wouldn't want it to be any other way. You know, I've heard some horror stories maybe in other institutions where there's a lot of headbutting between the programs, but we're totally the opposite here, so I'm very pleased with that.
I want to change gears for a second, and I'm just always interested in our national program for the U.S. And I'm kind of curious, the women, you know, obviously have had extraordinary success and, you know, the premier program in the world at this point in time. Men have kind of lagged behind, and, you know, part of that, I guess, is related to how long soccer has been a sport that women have been playing and maybe the U.S. was pioneering at. Is that the whole reason, or are there other reasons, do you think, why, you know, the men have not really had anything approximating the same level of success and dominance the women have had?
I do think, President Stanley, we got off to a little bit of a head start on things, and that we have had, as you mentioned, great success, and we kind of structured aggressively a women's program starting back in the early 80s, where I think some of the other traditional soccer-playing countries around the world maybe weren't ready to take that step yet. I think some of it was embedded in their culture. I think a lot of the Latin American countries, women playing a sport like soccer wasn't really celebrated. That sport, I think, in a lot of the traditional countries is very much like American football. It's a very macho type of thing. So it took a little while for those barriers to break down in other countries. And yet in the meantime, here in the United States, we've continued to progress, develop. And with, as I mentioned, the growth of the women's game in the college level has also helped and worked hand in hand with our national team program. And it's been inspirational. It's put our sport on the map. It's celebrated women's athletics with our success in the World Cup and the Olympics at a level that has been much needed over the years. And I think the men will always be in a tougher worldwide arena, without a doubt, because you've got some countries like Brazil or Germany or England that just have deep 100-year traditions where when we start to grow up, we might think about playing multiple sports as a dream. In a lot of those countries, there's one dream, and that's to play soccer. So they really kind of get kind of a cultural advantage there, I think, over our men. But we have that tradition now in the States with the women's game. I have nieces that are, you know, dressed up in their gear for the World Cup this summer, and it's really been quite special. So hopefully the men will continue to work at catching up, but we are really enjoying the ride on the women's side for sure.
Extraordinary sense of national pride in the women's program.
So
and wonderful to see people traveling with the team all over the world and the sense of excitement people have. So I know I share it, and I've mentioned before my son was a high school classmate with Becky Sauerbrunn, and they were friends.
Awesome.
And so we've always had kind of a personal tie to the team as well since she's been on it. But they're great, seem great performers on the biggest stage.
So we have kind of an exciting situation. It didn't quite get to the point we wanted it to, but our freshman, Bria Schrotenboer, was called into the under-20 camp in December, and we went down. It coincided with an event that we go to recruit, so we were able to watch her play against Brazil for the under-20s, which was unbelievably cool. And she then got called back in January for their kind of final cut, basically. Unfortunately, didn't make it, but U-20s are right now, as we speak, qualifying for the World Cup in the Dominican Republic. But they were so happy with what she offered. She's going, hopefully she will, with the outbreaks that are going on. On Friday, she'll be leaving to Spain with the under-19 national team to represent the country in a three-team tournament over there. So we're very proud of her. We're very excited. I think her future is bright. But anytime we have an opportunity to have one of our student-athletes even get close to representing the United States in any way, and we've had several at the youth level, it's a highlight for us, without a doubt.
That's exciting.
When I talk to friends that that coach basketball, to use it, to make an analogy. They talk about basketball, the men's game and the women's game, as very strategically different games in the way that they assess the competition, in the way that they develop strategy and plays and that kind of thing. Is that true in soccer or not so much? I mean, in basketball, you have a height differential, for example, sure, that creates strategic differences just in how the game is played. And I don't, it's not a better or worse. It's a different kind of thing. And I just curious, if you were coaching a men's team versus a women's team, are there differences in strategy, or because you don't have things like a height differential, it's a very similar game?
Yeah, not so much, Bill, to be honest with you. I think it is very similar to, and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't take a different approach. I think the game has evolved, and there's trends like there is in every sport, based on the latest and the greatest. And you know, Liverpool right now is the probably the best club team in the world, and their coach kind of brought this pressing game into play in the last few years, and everybody all over the world is kind of taking on the playing with a higher press, and it doesn't matter male or female. We saw it in the World Cup last summer. They were using the tactics that you're seeing from the finest clubs and coaches in the world. There's, of course, I think there's a difference in speed of play a little bit, but as we continue to develop as athletes, stronger, faster, the window of decision making is tighter. It's, you know, relatively tighter at our end too. So you really do kind of, I think, take similar approaches. Back in the day when I was working with Joe Baum and coaching both teams, we really took that approach at that time too. I mean, it's soccer, because it doesn't depend so much on, you know, Leo Messi's 5'4", 5'5". It really doesn't matter how tall you are. Speed certainly matters, without a doubt. And yet technique, the ability to maneuver the ball, what you can do with the ball, is most important of all. And, you know, we were able, with the development in the women's game in the United States, to recruit very skillful student athletes. So I guess the summary is there's really not that much difference in the approach, gender-wise, in our sport.
When you're coaching soccer, obviously during the season you're playing a lot of soccer. In the off season, what do your women do to keep in shape? How do they keep busy during the off season time?
Well, as you know, we have different sets of rules that go in and out in terms of the amount of time we can train with them, and so we go from the 20-hour weeks that we have during the regular season into an 8-hour phase, and then back into a 20. And because it is so demanding, we play in a relatively short footprint in the college women's game. We jam 20 games into like 11 weeks, and that's a lot of soccer at our level. So where we're doing a lot of recovery and very little strength training because of the toll it takes on the muscle groups and whatnot, and just pretty much focusing on the game, the recovery, and the cycle again. When we get to the off season, the first thing we do is we try to take a breather, but reset and get them into the strength and conditioning rooms, and have them, you know, work on some basic strength improvements, enhancements. So they'll lift 2 days a week, and then we'll do what we call technical training a couple hours a week, and we use the various facilities at the IM and Duffy and work in groups of usually one coach to four players, which is one of my favorite times of the year because I get to interact at a more personal level with our student athletes and break their game down a little bit more and work with them on what they can do with the ball, which is really kind of the essence of the game, as I mentioned earlier. So that's a cool time for us. Now we've switched back into our 20 hours, and we're allowed to play 5 exhibitions, which we have scheduled this spring. So we're back at it pretty intensely, but we're balancing the opportunity to help them get stronger in the weight room with the soccer and the preparation for matches. And then the other thing we've added in the last couple of years that has been actually, I think, very beneficial, both physically and maybe more importantly psychologically, is we do yoga as a team once a week, which I really am seeing some changes there. I think, you know, practicing a little bit of mindfulness, getting in and getting the yoga positions and all the demands that they put on you, and it helps flexibility, but it really helps, I think, the psychology of the student athletes. So that's something that I would definitely plan on continuing during the winter. If we could ever fit it in the fall, it might be really beneficial. But it, as I said earlier, it's a busy time for us.
Very tight. So as you go into your spring season, are there any players we should be particularly keeping our eye out for, either returning veterans or newcomers that we ought to be watching out for?
Absolutely. I mentioned Bria already, and she's a center back, so she'll when she gets back from Spain, she'll anchor our back line. We have 8 starters back from last fall, so there's I think some good experience there. I'm really excited about our front line. We have 3 forwards, all underclassmen, that have scored goals in Big Ten games, scored goals for us already, proven goal scorers. One is Gia Wahlberg. She will be a junior this fall. Gia was one of the top 3 scorers in the nation going into the second week of Big Ten play, and unfortunately hurt her knee against Minnesota and was out the rest of the Big Ten season. So having her back and healthy and watching her interact with Cameron Evans, our center forward, and Paige Weber, our freshman wing, has been fun. We're getting them to play off of each other a little bit more, and that's going to be really important for us to be a strong offensive team next fall. We've been talking a lot in the office with the staff about kind of the concept of the proverbial inches, because we lost, I think, 7 one-goal games in Big Ten play last year, so we really are looking to find a way to take those next steps. So hopefully Bria can help us anchor a strong defense, and we'll continue to see those 3 underclassmen score more and more goals for us, because that's the name of the game.
In MSU athletics, one of the things we spend a lot of time on is focusing on, you know, 3 paths towards success. You know, success on the field of play, success in the classroom, setting our young people up to be successful in whatever their life's pursuit is. How do you emphasize success in the classroom?
We do it with celebrating our tradition and making it it's a team goal. It's, you walk into our locker room and it's right in your face. We have goals in different areas, in community service, what we do on the field, our preparation for training. But academics is at the top, and it's been a tradition that I'm very proud of. I'm a graduate of our School of Education. I was a teacher. I believe I still am a teacher. I think we as coaches, regardless of the level we're competing in, we're in the education business. So I take that very, very seriously. I'm very, very proud of the tradition we have within our program. I think ourselves in Penn State have far more academic all Big Ten honorees than anybody else in the conference, if you look at the archives. And I've also am very proud to say that I've coached a Rhodes Scholar, which is one of my highlights of my career. So that's the kind of thing we celebrate and just let our players know when we recruit them, when they come in, that this is what we're all about. Okay, you're getting a great degree here at Michigan State. And oh, by the way, you're also getting to compete in intercollegiate athletics in one of the great conferences in the country. So they go hand in hand, but academics is always first, and our student athletes know that.
That's a great answer, and really appreciate, Coach, you making that part of the ethos, really, of the team. That's spectacular. And I was doing alumni question and answers just a couple days ago, and someone said to me, you're talking about, you know, the athletic program, but, you know, what about the academics? And I said, well, you know, obviously they're important, but let me tell you, our athletic program has some incredible strengths in academics as well, and I think you should recognize that we're among the top in the Big Ten in terms of our Scholastic All-Americans, and also the fact that 78 of our student athletes at Michigan State University had a 4.0 average overall. So I said, we don't need to separate those things. We can talk about them in the same sentence. And so I was proud to be able to do that. And thank you for your part in helping to make that happen.
Thank you. So we're very proud of it.
So we'll wrap up with one of my favorite questions, which is, as you think about, you reflect on your time at MSU, either as a student athlete or in your many years as a coach, is there a favorite memory you have, something that stands out as a special moment?
I think with my team, you know, we won the first ever Big Ten title. That was long ago, and I can't tell you I remember it as well as I probably used to. But, you know, that was certainly special. But I think, you know, we had our best alum is a young lady. Her married name is Laura Heatheis. Her name when she was here is Laura Highbore. She was a 3-time All-American. She's an academic All-American. Her picture hangs in the Smith Center in the portrait gallery there, and she was a first-round draft choice in the professional league. And that for in the women's game, that's fairly rare, so that was a really good moment as far as that goes. As a fan of Michigan State athletics, because I truly am a fan, is because I'm a Flint native, is when Coach Izzo won the national championship with the Flintstones. That's certainly – I was at the game. I'll never forget Mateen limping out there again in the second half after and our win over Florida. So that was incredibly special for me as a native of Flint. I went to Flint Northern, where quite a few of those guys attended school. So that was almost a surreal blending of my upbringing and my alma mater and the highest level you can get to. And then, again, I've enjoyed – a lot of different facets of life here. All three of my sons are graduates of Michigan State. I'm very proud of that, and it's just been an incredible community. The people here are great, and they always will be.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining us today. Again, we're joined by a head women's varsity soccer coach, Tom Saxton, and President Sam Stanley, and thank you very much for joining us today on the program.
It's been my honor. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, President Stanley.